Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for you for today, Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. And we'll begin with the front page of the commercial news. City Panel to Act on School Agreement by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Three agreements between the city and Danville School District 118 will be presented for alderman action at tonight's City Council Public Services Committee meeting. The agreements pertain to school resource officers, or SROs, for the upcoming school year and to put into policy what we're already practicing, according to Mayor Scott Eisenhower. The SROs agreement calls for one city police officer to serve Northridge Middle School, one to serve Kenneth D. Bailey Academy, and two officers to serve Danville High School. Eisenhower said two would be at DHS due to the size of the school and to ward off any issues. The agreement runs from July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2019, and may be extended. The officers could also be assigned to work at the elementary schools. Officers apply for the SRO positions. They then are selected through an interview process conducted by a committee consisting of police department and school district officials, Danville Public Safety Director Larry Thomason said. The officers are not there for law enforcement unless needed, but the officers are there as mentors and to assist these young people and discuss things with them, Thomason said. It's been a very beneficial program. John Hart, Assistant Superintendent of Schools for Elementary Education, also last year said the officers develop relationships with the students as the students move up in grades. The students look up to the officers, he added. The school district will reimburse the city officers' salaries and benefits for the days worked at the schools, 75% of a year. The city will provide monthly invoices for reimbursement. According to the agreement, an SRO must have at least 2 years of police officer experience and be able to function as a strong role model for students in the district. Due to the police department being down officers, there were only two SROs in the school's last school year. Police officer Beth DeMilano was at DHS and officer Josh Long was at Northridge. The other agreements between the city and school district up for action tonight are for emergency access to school security video feeds and radio frequencies and reciprocal reporting of criminal offenses committee by students. In other business, committee members will consider authorizing the Danville Public Building Commission to replace the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system at the Juvenile Detention Center. The project would be added to the bond issue project list. Eisenhower said there is money available. Also, consider authorizing a $15,000 budget amendment for Harrison Park Golf Course due to repairs from flooding. Funds come from the golf course reserves. And finally, to discuss inoperable vehicles. Our next story is entitled Zero Tolerance Policy Abandoned by Scott Sonner and John L. Mohn from the Associated Press. Reno, Nevada. The nation's top border enforcement official acknowledged Monday that authorities have abandoned, for now, the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy towards immigrant families after the president ordered an end to the separation of parents and children who cross the southern border. The comments by Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McKeelan came shortly after Attorney General Jeff Sessions defended the administration's tactics in a speech in Nevada and asserted that many children were brought to the border by violent gang members. Together, their remarks added to the nationwide confusion as mothers and fathers struggled to reunite families that were split up by the government and sometimes sent to different parts of the country. McAleenan told reporters in Texas that he stopped sending cases of parents charged with legally entering the country to prosecutors after Donald Trump ordered an end to the separations last week. The commissioner and Sessions insisted that the administration's policy remains in effect, but the cases cannot be prosecuted because parents cannot be separated from their children. Mekalinen said he is working on a plan to resume prosecutions. Speaking at a school safety conference in Reno, Sessions cast the children as victims of a broken immigration system and urged Congress to act. While hundreds of protesters rallied outside a hotel casino, the Attorney General said more than 80% of children crossing the border arrive alone without parents or guardians and are often sent with a paid smuggler. We can only guess how many never make it to our border during that dangerous journey. He claimed the MS-13 gang is recruiting children who were sent here as unaccompanied minors, and some are brought to help replenish the gang. And they are terrorizing immigrant schools and communities from Los Angeles to Louisville to Long Island to Boston. They are able to do so because we do not have a secure Southwest border. He said five children had been found at the border carrying a combined 35 pounds of fentanyl, the powerful synthetic opioid drug blamed for an epidemic of overdose deaths nationwide. Drug cartels, Sessions said, take advantage of our generosity and use children to smuggle their drugs into our country as well. Just outside the building where Sessions spoke, more than 200 protesters opposed to the administration's immigration policies blocked a busy road. The coalition of civil rights, religious, and union activists carried signs and drums and were joined by a mariachi band. Some sat in a busy roadway while police diverted traffic around them. No arrests were reported. Mekalinen's remarks follow an announcement last week by the Federal Public Defender's Office in El Paso that federal prosecutors would no longer bring criminal charges against parents entering the U.S. if they have their child with them. Amid the confusion, some Democratic members of Congress reiterated their frustrations Monday that the Trump administration had not released its plan for reunifying families. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut was among those who toured a shelter at the Tornillo border crossing in West Texas. I think there is a very, very powerful consensus on both sides of the aisle that reunification should be done immediately, Blumenthal said. These stories are gut-wrenching and heartbreaking of children 6 and 7 years old, separated from their parents, not know where they are, and the parents not knowing where their children are. U.S. defense officials said the administration had chosen two military bases in Texas to house detained migrants. The officials identified the bases as Fort Bliss and Goodfellow Air Base. They spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak on the record about a pending announcement. As many as 2,300 children were separated from their migrant parents from the time the administration adopted the zero-tolerance policy until June 9th, officials have said. The temporary shelter at Tornillo was closed to its 360-person capacity. Reporters were allowed Monday to briefly visit the shelter, where more than 320 children, ages 13 to 17, are being held in air-conditioned tents. A facility administrator told reporters that the main complaint he hears from children on site is that the tents get too cold sometimes. About half were from Guatemala, and 23 of the children had been separated from adults who accompanied them across the border. Reporters were not allowed to enter any tents holding children. Two girls who stopped briefly in front of reporters said that they were doing well. The exact process to reunite families has been unclear because migrants are first stopped by Customs and Border Protection. Then children are transferred to the custody of the Department of Health and Human Services, while adults detained through Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is under the Department of Homeland Security. Children have been sent to far-flung shelters around the country, raising alarm that parents might never know where their children can be found. Justice Department officials have asked a federal judge to amend a class action settlement that governs how children are treated in immigration custody. Right now, children can only be detained with their families for 20 days. Trump officials are seeking to detain them together indefinitely as their cases progress. Advocates say family detention does not solve the problem. Our next story is entitled Improving Edison, Renovations Keep School Thriving, by Carol Rome for the Danville Community News. Danville, the 89-year-old Edison Elementary School is being renovated this summer so that the school can continue to serve Danville District 118 students for years to come. The $2 million project started May 29th, and what is probably most noticeable to motorists passing by the circa 1929 school at North Vermilion Street and Winter Avenue is the boarded-up windows, all 79 of them. Schomburg and Schomburg Construction of Danville is the general contractor for the project that will entail replacing all of the school's glass block window systems, installing a new heating and air conditioning system, upgrading electrical systems, and tuck pointing the building. 76 of the windows will be replaced, with the remaining three being bricked in. All new windows and lintels will be installed, similar to the work that was done last year at the high school, Buildings and Grounds Director Skip Truex said. Part of the window work will include demolishing the bulkheads and the ceiling of most of the classrooms. It will help bring in a lot of light, Truex said, of removing the bulkheads. There also will be some tuck pointing done in different areas, and new steel doors installed in the front and back of the school, he added. The school's old boiler will no longer be used and instead replaced with a new, energy-efficient heating and cooling system. Edison's classrooms were being heated with steam from cast iron radiators or ventilators. A new heat pump system will provide heat and cooling using outside air, and areas in the school building will have individual climate control systems. We also will be upgrading the electrical service to accommodate the HVAC system, Truex said. Some improvements already were made last year at the brick school with the interesting turrets. Last year, we removed the steps and put in an ADA-compliant concrete ramp in front of the school and new asphalt in the playground area, Truex said. Truex hopes the project will be completed during the summer before the new school year starts in August. Everyone is doing the best they can, he said. This school will be in good shape when we get it done. Edison Elementary School has a place in Danville history. When it opened in 1929, it was the first school in Danville to offer kindergarten during a time when most children did not attend school until first grade. Children from other Danville neighborhoods could attend Edison's kindergarten, and a young Dick Van Dyke was one of those kindergartners, according to retired superintendent Mark Denman's book, The History of the Danville Schools. And our final story from the front page of the Commercial News is entitled, Students Express Art Flair at DACC Camp, by Carol Rome. Danville. A dozen students tried their hand at drawing Zentangles Monday afternoon during the Studio 101 Art Camp at Danville Area Community College. A Zentangle is drawn using a series of patterns, such as S-curves and lines, to form a larger image. The students, who ranged in age from fifth grade to high school seniors, then used watercolors to paint their Zentangle. This is the third year for Studio 101, which is in conjunction with First Gig Music Camp all this week at DACC. The participants of both camps will showcase their talent during Art Beat Music Week, which kicks off today at Danville Stadium and runs through Saturday at various locations around downtown Danville, including Kresge Park, Temple Plaza, and David S. Palmer Arena. Art camp instructor and Armstrong School District art teacher Jennifer Heidrich coaxed the students out of the classroom on the first day of camp with a photo scavenger hunt on campus. One of the items on the scavenger hunt list encouraged students to snap a photo of something that began with the letter Z. The students said that was, by far, the most difficult thing to find. Some students were creative and took a photo of the zipper on a plastic sandwich bag, the Z key on a keyboard, and zigzag stairs. Students also learned Monday about pointillism, which entails making tiny dots that blend together when viewed from a distance, and other patterns with different values or tones of lightness and darkness. The rest of the week, we're going to do watercolor portraits, a pour painting using fluid acrylic paints, and still life drawings, Heidrich said. For the watercolor portraits, Heidrich said she will show the students how they can mask off areas on the paper with rubber cement to prevent the watercolor paint from penetrating the paper. After the students are done painting the portrait, they will be able to peel off the rubber cement. Nadia Ludwig of Danville has attended the art camp all 3 years. It's a lot of fun, and we get to do a lot of different things, she said. I don't have art class where I go to school, so this is my art class. Samaya Shirley, a Georgetown Ridge Farm student, carefully painted in the spaces of her last name that was artistically written on a piece of paper. I like painting more than anything, she said. Our next story, Hayes announces road funds for district. For the Commercial News, Catlin. State Representative Chad Hayes, Republican from Catlin, recently announced more than $104 million of an $11.05 billion statewide road and bridge improvement program will be spent on projects in the 104th Legislative House District. The projects were announced as part of the Illinois Department of Transportation's six-year proposed highway improvement program for fiscal years 2019 through 2024, according to a press release from Hayes' office. These road and bridge repair projects will go far in improving the state of our roads in and around the 104th District, Hayes said in the release. I am thrilled to see such a large financial commitment from IDOT to update our infrastructure over the next 6 years. Keeping our roads and bridges in good condition not only provides safety to our residents, but it is also providing an economic boost by providing good-paying road construction jobs to local workers. District 104 projects included in IDOT's six-year program include the following. $9.32 million for resurfacing, guardrail work, bridge deck repairs, and ramp repair on Interstate 74 from 2 miles east of the St. Joseph Interchange to Illinois Route 49 in Champaign and Vermilion counties. $23 million for reconstruction on I-74 from U.S. Route 150 west of Danville to the Vermilion River in Danville. $5.08 million for bridge deck repairs on I-74 from U.S. 150 west of Danville to the Vermilion River in Danville. $18.736 million for engineering and bridge rehabilitation on I-74 at the Salt Fork of the Vermilion River west of Danville. $5.3 million for engineering and bridge replacement on I-74 at Tilton Road in Tilton. $9.649 million for resurfacing, underdrains, and ramp repair on I-74 from the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River in Danville to the Indiana state line. $4.3 million for bridge replacement on I-74 at Perrysville Road in Danville. $6 million for bridge replacement and bridge deck repairs on I-74 at Griffin Street and Stony Creek in Danville. $1.636 million for bridge deck overlay on I-74 at the Lynch Road interchange. $3.461 million for resurfacing and ADA improvements on U.S. 150 Illinois Route 1 from Ridge Farm to U.S. Route 36 in Vermilion and Edgar counties. $800,000 for resurfacing and ADA improvements on Route 1, U.S. 136, from just north of Liberty Lane to Winter Avenue in Danville. Based on funding levels, The fiscal year 2019 to 2024 proposed highway improvement program aims to improve a total of 1,945 miles of road and 525 bridges maintained by the state. The multi-year program also includes funding for upgrades to more than 750 miles of local roads and 922,933 square feet of local bridges. And now we turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. Pamela Jimson. Pamela J. Jimson, 64, of Danville, passed from this life Saturday, June 23rd, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Pamela's life will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, June 28th, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville, with Pastor Kent Tibben officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday prior to the service. She will be laid to rest at Danville National Cemetery. Memorials can be made in her memory to Trinity Lutheran Church Building Fund. Helen Crone. Helen L. Snyder Crone, 97, of Williamsport, Indiana, and Lafayette, Indiana, died peacefully Sunday evening, June 24, 2018. She had been ill for the past week. Helen would wish memorials to go to Trinity Presbyterian Church in West Lebanon or the Warren County Community Foundation. A celebration of Helen's life will be from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Saturday, June 30th at West Lebanon Trinity Church, with the funeral service beginning at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Pastor Steve Poston officiating. Interment will follow in West Lebanon Cemetery. Bevelyn Danner. Bevelyn H. Danner, 85, of Chrisman, passed away at 2:42 p.m. Sunday, June 24, 2018, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman, Illinois. A service to celebrate the life of Bevelyn H. Danner will be at 11 a.m. Friday, June 29th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Drew Menser will officiate. Burial will follow at Bethel Cemetery. Visitation will be held prior to the service from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, also at Sunset in Danville. Memorials may be made to Pleasant Meadows Senior Living, Respite Care. Julia Crane. Julia Dean Crane, 96, of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away at 1:06 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Sunday, June 24, 2018, at Ben-Hur Health and Rehabilitation in Crawfordsville, Indiana. Funeral service will be at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Thursday, June 28, at First Christian Church, 301 North Mill Street, Vetersburg, with Pastor Garland Pennell officiating. Visitation will begin at noon Eastern Daylight Time Thursday and continue until the time of service. Burial will be at Rockfield Cemetery near Vetersburg. In other news, we have Danville Man Sentenced in Weapons Case by Brianna Kirkham. Danville. A Danville man charged with the murder of Barbara Rose has been sentenced to 5 years on a separate weapons charge from a year prior. Ochiel D. Keyes, 27, of Danville, pleaded guilty last week to felony possession of a weapon, a charge that was filed in September 2016, according to court records. He was sentenced to 5 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections with 2 years of mandatory supervised release. He will receive credit for 221 days served. Two other charges of bodily harm to a child and great bodily harm to a child were dismissed. Attorney Holly Besner represented Keyes, and Assistant State's Attorney Stephanie Weber prosecuted the case, with Judge Nancy Fahey presiding. Rose, 50, was reported missing on October 24, 2017, by family members. After searching the Cleveland Street home Rose shared with Keyes, he was placed under arrest. Police later found Rose's body, but few details have been made public. His jury trial is scheduled for 9 a.m. August 20th in the Vermilion County Courthouse. Our next story is from the Associated Press, and it's entitled, Illinois County Voters to Decide on Gun Status. Marion. County officials in southern Illinois will be letting voters decide whether it'll join a movement by several other counties in the state to become a gun sanctuary county. Williamson County Board of Commissioners Chairman Jim Marlowe told the Southern Illinoisian that the board has voted to let residents have input on the resolution to become a sanctuary county for gun owners, a reference to so-called sanctuary cities that don't cooperate with aspects of federal immigration enforcement. It's a buzzword, a word that really gets attention. With all these sanctuary cities, we just decided to turn it around to protect our Second Amendment rights, said David Campbell, vice chairman of the Effingham County Board. Such resolutions are meant to put the Democratic-controlled legislature on notice that if it passes a host of gun bills, counties might bar their employees from enforcing the new laws. The bills include new age restrictions for certain weapons, a bump stock ban, and a size limit for gun magazines. Letting the residents of Williamson County decide is our goal, Marlowe said, not just the opinion of three people on a board. And another story from the Associated Press is entitled, Firefighter Fatally Shot at Retirement Home, by Christopher Weber and Michael Balsamo. Long Beach, California. A beloved and decorated fire captain was gunned down Monday morning, and two others, including a second firefighter, were wounded when a resident of a Southern California retirement home shot at firefighters who were responding to a report of an explosion in the building. The shooting happened after firefighters responded to an alarm shortly before 4 a.m. at the 11-story retirement facility in Long Beach, south of Los Angeles, and found some windows blown out, activated sprinklers, the smell of gas, and a fire that they extinguished, authorities said. Firefighters were searching the building when shots were fired, and the two firefighters were hit, Long Beach Fire Chief Michael Durie said. Fire Captain Dave Rosa, who had worked for the department for 17 years, died at a hospital Monday morning, Durie said. He is survived by a wife and two children, the chief said. The other firefighter who was shot was not immediately identified and was hospitalized in stable condition. A third person was also struck by gunfire and was in critical condition and undergoing surgery, said Police Chief Robert Luna. No further details were provided about that person. Dozens of firefighters stood at attention and saluted as the flag-draped coffin carrying Rosa's body was brought out of a hospital Monday afternoon and loaded into a coroner's van. Community members waved American flags along the street outside the hospital as the procession of police and fire vehicles escorted the van to the coroner's office. Luna said a person of interest, who police believe is a resident at the facility, was detained at the scene and was being questioned by investigators. A weapon was recovered at the scene, he said. There's a big puzzle to put together, Luna said. Investigators were looking into whether the shooter intentionally lured first responders to the scene to ambush them. And finally, from the community brief section, we have tractor drive scheduled. Vermilion County Farm Bureau will celebrate 100 years of service to agriculture with a heritage tractor drive on August 11th. The tractors will line up at the Vermilion County Fairgrounds west of Danville off of U.S. Route 150, departing at 9:30 a.m. Veteran farm broadcaster Max Armstrong will be the Grand Marshal. The tractors will travel to Oakwood, Catlin, and Westville before going to Lincoln Park in Danville for lunch. This has been the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. My name is Greg, and I've enjoyed reading for you. Have a good day.